his actions and his sin, then it would be incorrect for God, it would be unjust for God to punish his servant for that. Or that they originate from him and the servant together, meaning in parallel to one another, both of them are agents of this action. The Imam says this is incorrect, because in this case, it would not be proper for the strong partner to wrong the weak partner. Obviously, God being the strong agent here, it would be improper for him to wrong the weaker one. The final one is that, or that they originate from the servant, which they do. And in this case, if Allah forgives, it is due to his kindness and liberality. Or if he punishes, it is the result of the sin and the crime of the servant. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the question of predestination in the light of the hadith of the A'imma alayhi wasalam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad. وآله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته. It's a great time when we know that there are millions of our brothers and sisters in Iraq, so it's like a special time that spirituality is at a very high level, alhamdulillah, in our community. And even those who are not able to join like me, we are very much feeling blessed and grateful to Allah that many people are able to go, and inshallah all our community inshallah will benefit. I have been reflecting on the concept of visitation, and sometimes we had this discussion with some of our Christian friends, sometime with our own community members, and this is one of the pieces of the puzzle about social wilaya as well, and also about Islamic way of spirituality. So one of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us is that He enabled us to benefit from lots of other things that don't belong to us, but you can benefit from them. For example, you benefit from your character, you benefit from your good deeds and iman, etc. But there is a way to benefit from the good things that exist in other believers. So much barakah is in visiting brothers and sisters in faith. Even if they are not at higher level than us, maybe they are higher, maybe they are equal, maybe they are lower, maybe they are older, maybe they are younger, more knowledgeable, less knowledgeable. But just ziyaratul mu'min, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has great barakah. For example, we have many hadiths. I mentioned just, you know, maybe one or two samples. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man zara akhahul mu'min. We are not yet talking about ziyarah of imams. We are talking about ziyarah of brothers and sisters in faith. Man zara akhahul mu'min ila manzilihi. Someone visits his brother in faith, or sisters visit their sisters in faith to their in home. La hajatan minhu ilay. They don't have any need. You know, sometimes needs take us to each other. I want to borrow, I want to get a letter, I want to, I don't know, ask for something. But only for the sake of Allah, I miss my brother in faith, I miss my sister in faith. As a sister, for example, I want to visit them. And it should be also ila manzilihi. You know, it's very important. I many times say mu'mineen should not be satisfied with visiting each other in public places. That's great, you know, to see in masjid every week, for example, I don't know, more than once a week. But it's not enough. You cannot say, I see my brother or sister or father or mother or child in masjid. And in Du'ai Nutbe we say, Hal min jazu'in fa'usa'ida jaza'ahu idha khala. So in khalwa, in private also, we should help each other. Even for lamenting and crying, we should also help when someone is alone, not just in public places. So, visiting each other for the sake of Allah without any haja in houses, in homes. Kutiba, please listen very carefully. And this is not in one hadith. Several hadiths has this concept. Kutiba min zuwarillah. You are considered, you are written as a person who is visiting Allah. Allah doesn't have a, you know, physical body to visit him, but visiting Allah is in visiting for the sake of Allah. Even doesn't say kutiba min zuwar baytillah. We go to visit Kaaba, but some people visit Kaaba and not visit God. But here kutiba min zuwarillah. Of course, if you go Kaaba for the sake of Allah, you know, that is also like visiting Allah. But this is also kutiba min zuwarillah. Or we have hadith that Allah says he has visited me. وَكَانَ حَقِيقًا عَلَى اللَّهِ أَنْ يُكْرِمَ زَائِرَهُ. Then it is expected from Allah, and Allah gives you a right that if you visit him, he would honor you. Because we know every host should honor his or her guest. Even there is a hadith, Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawm al-akhir fal yukrim dhaifah. Okay? Whoever believes in Allah and the hereafter should honor his guests. Allah says, you have visited this mu'min or mu'mina for my sake, you have visited me. He is going to look after you, but I am also responsible. I have to honor you. Or we have this hadith from Imam Baqir alayhi salam that tazawaru fi buyutikum fa inna dhalika hayatun l'amrina. Visit each other in your homes. Alhamdulillah, in our community we have this practice of visiting, inviting, having guests. Sometimes people travel, stay a few days, 10 days in someone's house. We should not lose these good qualities. تزاوروا في بيوتكم فإن ذلك حياة لأمرنا. Visit each other in your homes. This is life for our effort. This is life for wilaya. Even it doesn't say this is going to revive our effort. It says this is the life of our effort. Means wilaya is a matter of this. Wilaya is a matter of you loving each other, visiting each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wilaya is not person's relation only with Allah or Imam. It's our relation as well. It's vertical and horizontal. Rahimallahu abdan ahya amrana. May Allah have mercy upon those who revive our effort.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adi Ali. حالي حاكم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا
Limelight. Up to 750,000 children, postpartum adults, and others eligible for WIC in the U.S. could soon be turned away from the aid program. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Truthout wrote, Republican threats to shut down the federal government if spending isn't drastically cut have put funding for a critical nutrition aid program at risk as hunger grows across the United States of America, with the recent lapse of pandemic-era assistance leaving many low-income families struggling to put food on the table. The Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children, commonly known as WIC, is one of many federal programs that could face severe impacts if Congress fails to fund the government by September 30. As the Washington Post Tony Rahm reported recently, while USDA technically can operate WIC if federal funding lapses, states could only continue paying benefits for as long as they had leftover money. A shutdown at the end of 2018 into the following January, for example, brought some states within a month of having to cut benefits, institute wait lists, or take other drastic actions, Rahm noted, citing a Washington state nutrition official. Nearly a decade later, state leaders and nutrition experts feared the fight in the nation capital once again could leave millions of women and children in a financial bind. WIC, long a target of Republican lawmakers, gives states grants to provide nutrition aid and other assistance to pregnant and postpartum adults and children up to the age of five. House Republican appropriators have proposed sharp cuts to WIC for the coming fiscal year, even as policy experts say a significant funding increase is needed as participation in the program grows. In a recent report, the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, CBPP, warned that up to 750,000 eligible toddlers, preschoolers, postpartum adults, and others eligible for WIC could be turned away from the program if the House GOP's proposed funding levels become law. Another 4.6 million toddlers and preschoolers and pregnant, postpartum and breastfeeding participants would have their benefits cut significantly, the group estimated, adding, in total, the House bill would cut food assistance for or take it away altogether from roughly 5.3 million young children and pregnant, postpartum and breastfeeding adults. CBPP argued that the program will need roughly $7.3 billion in total funding for fiscal year 2024 to provide full benefits to WIC recipients. Republicans, who already secured more strict work requirements for SNAP recipients in a debt ceiling deal with the White House, want to approve just $5.5 billion for WIC. The far-right House Freedom Caucus, which has dozens of members, has threatened to oppose any short-term funding agreement that does not impose steep cuts to federal spending and put an end to the unprecedented weaponization of the Justice Department. An apparent reference to the prosecution of former President Donald Trump, the House, led by Republican Speaker Kevin McCarthy, is set to return from August recess next week. As CNN reported recently, GOP hardliners in the House are eager to play a game of chicken over the end-of-the-month deadline to fund federal agencies seeking to force the White House and Senate to make a choice: accept a slew of conservative priorities or risk a debilitating government shutdown. Republican appropriators have called for major cuts to a range of federal programs related to education, environmental protection, and more. Representative Rosa DeLauro, the top Democrat on the House Appropriations Committee, wrote on social media recently that House Democrats are ready to move on funding for disaster relief and other crises. She added, House Republicans are listening to their most extreme members on steps that could slow the flow of relief and put us to the brink of a government shutdown. According to Guardian, can you name the top 10 causes of death in the United States of America? Without too much trouble, most Americans could likely come up with some of them: cancer, heart disease, stroke, accidents. But it would come as a surprise to many to know that poverty is right up there with these other dreaded scourges. Much higher, in fact, than many ills that have inspired investigative committees, major policy investments, and sustained attention from the public and private sectors in American life. A recent study by one of the colleagues in Guardian shows that cumulative poverty over the years is the fourth leading cause of death in the United States of America. Current poverty, just being poor right now, is seventh on that list, and it alone causes 10 times as many deaths as homicide, close to 5 times as many deaths as gun violence, and 2.5 times as many deaths as drug overdoses. Cumulative poverty that lingers year after year is associated with approximately 60% more deaths than current poverty, putting only heart disease, cancer, and smoking-related deaths ahead in the number of Americans it kills. But if this is true, why do we hear so much about crime rates, opioids, and gun violence in America, but so little from elected leaders about the crisis of poverty? Why is there no Surgeon General's warning on low-wage jobs? The relationship of poverty to disease and death is a well-established fact detailed in reports by the World Health Organization, the World Bank, or the government. But the people have become numb to the unnecessary deaths that are normalized by the ways they often think and talk about the economy in public life. Guardian added, sadly, the United States is the leader in poverty among rich countries of the world. As of 2019, the U.S. had the worst poverty rates overall, 17.8%, and in children specifically, 20.9% among the other 25 wealthy countries that are part of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD. In addition, poverty affects all Americans. 75% of all Americans between 20 and 75 years of age will be among the current poor or near poverty for at least 1 year of their lives. Contrary to popular belief, poverty is hardly just the province of the inner city. Only 10% of poor Americans live in high poverty census tracts. Most are spread out across the country. They are neighbors. And although the rates of poverty are highest among communities of color, by sheer volume, most people living in poverty are white. Finally, poverty is a drag on the U.S. economy. Child poverty alone in the United States of America presents an $8 billion to $1.1 trillion price tag based on reductions in adult productivity, criminal justice costs, and the cost of health care for children from poor families.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I'm Ata, the host of this program. Sayyid Mahdi and Sheikh Rouhani are the guest speakers for today's discussion. Sayyid Mahdi, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, rahmatullah. It's nice to be here.
And Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
For today's discussion, we want to talk about the era of the imamate of Imam Reza alayhi salam, why Imam Reza alayhi salam accepted the invitation of Ma'mun and came from Medina to the city of Khorasan in northeastern part of Persia, Iran today. Sheikh Rouhani, let's start with you, brother. Imam Reza alayhi salam was residing in Medina, and now he is invited by the then king of the Muslim empire, Ma'mun, to Khorasan. He accepts and he comes to Khorasan. Why?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Of course, it's a very important question that why did Imam Reza alayhi salatu wasalam accepted the invitation of Ma'mun to come to Khorasan? First of all, we should know, let's ask this way the question that why did Ma'mun insist on inviting Imam Reza to Khorasan? Because Ma'mun was a caliph and he was powerful, he was strong enough to do whatever we could in that area. Now the question is that why did he bring Imam Reza alayhi salatu wasalam to Khorasan? Of course, we cannot say that Ma'mun really wanted to give khilafah, for example, to Imam Reza alayhi salatu wasalam. We cannot say that, for example, Ma'mun loved Imam Reza alayhi salatu wasalam. Out of his love, he invited, Imam Reza alayhi salatu wasalam to Khorasan. And also, we cannot say that he believed wholeheartedly to the imamah of Imam Reza alayhi salatu wasalam. That's why he invited Imam Reza alayhi salatu wasalam to Khorasan. The point is here that, first of all, Ma'mun was son of a servant, a Persian, I think, Kaniz and servant to Harun al-Rashid. Mm-hmm. Amin was a son of Harun al-Rashid from a pure Arab mother.
Mother, okay.
So
his brother.
There was a kind of racial kind of issue also between Amin and Ma'mun.
Okay.
When Ma'mun killed his brother Amin, who was supposed to be the caliph, then because his mother was not pure Arab, pure Amawi, for example, or Abbasi, that's why the Arabs did not accept him, did not accept Ma'mun as a caliph because of
as
his mother.
As a pure Arab king.
Yeah, yeah,
yes.
Because of his mother.
Yes.
So among the Arabs, he was not accepted. Rather, Amin was accepted mostly by the Arabs, or particularly by the Abbasids. So he had problem with the society, with the Arab society. So that's why he established his government in Khorasan. In Khorasan, again, he had another problem. Mm-hmm. The problem was that the people of Khorasan stood against Amawids, because Abu Muslim Khorasani waged a war against Amawids, and he toppled down the Khilafah of Amawids by the help of the people of Khorasan.
Mm-hmm.
So the main objective of the people of Khorasan was this, that to give Khilafah to Ahlul Bayt. This was the main objective of this Qiyam, or revolt against Amawids.
Amawids, yes.
But later, the people of Khorasan understood that they were deceived by the Abbasids.
Okay.
Abbasids promised them that we will give Khilafah to the Ahlul Bayt, but they didn't do that. So they understood that. Now, Ma'mun feared a lot from the people of Khorasan. The people of Khorasan, if they defeated, for example, Amawids by that kind of powerful establishment and Khilafah, so they were easily able to do each and everything against Ma'mun. That is why he feared a lot the people of Khorasan, because he deceived them.
Yes.
Then among the Arabs, he was not that much popular, that much welcomed by the Arabs.
Yes.
So he had lots of problem. That's why actually we can see that he was forced and pressurized by the people of Khorasan to bring Imam Ridha alayhi salatu wasalam to Maruf and give Khilafah to him, as you promised us.
Okay.
That's why we revolt against Amawids. That's why we stopped Amawids from Khilafah to give Khilafah to what? To the pure Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. Why did you deceive us?
Yes.
You know? Why Harun al-Rashid and Ma'mun and the other Abbasid caliphs deceived us? So that's why, since Ma'mun was not supported by the Arabs very powerfully, while Harun al-Rashid was not such.
Yes.
His father. And then the people of Khorasan also was so much, let's say, what we can say, skeptical.
Yes.
Yeah.
Suspicious.
Suspicious on Ma'mun.
Yes.
That's why Ma'mun invited Imam Ridha. He did not love Imam Ridha. He did not believe in Imam of Imam Ridha. He did not actually really want to give Khilafah, because he killed his brother because of the Khilafah. How can he give Khilafah to Imam Ridha?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Of course, it was because of the fear of the people of Khorasan that they will do what they did with Amawids, with me, with the Abbasids. So that's why he invited Imam Ridha.
In order to silence them, you know, he invited
Imam Ridha did know that Ma'mun want to deceive again the people. And that's why Imam Ridha did not willingly go to Khorasan.
Yes.
He was also forced to leave Medina. Imam Ridha really liked to stay in Medina.
Yes.
The Medina of his Jad, his grandfather. But unfortunately, Ma'mun forced him to come to Khorasan. Yes.
Okay. And now Imam al-Rizal alayhi salam is known as the vicegerent or the valiat of Ma'mun over there. This means that after Ma'mun, Imam al-Rizal will be the then, for example, king, or especially say ruler, or the first man, the head of the Muslim Ummah at that time, Sayyid Nawawi. But Ma'mun martyrs Imam al-Rizha alayhi salam. Why?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I wanted to kind of start with taking another angle of the idea of why Imam Ridha, why Ma'mun al-Rashid would have offered Imam Ridha alayhi salam, you know, this position of waliahad. So this other aspect here, right, as Sheikh Rouhani, you know, very well said, that Ma'mun al-Rashid was looking for legitimacy for his government. So Imam Ridha alayhi salam was the perfect candidate that would bring him this legitimacy from all different aspects. So one was that, you know, Imam Ridha alayhi salam was from Bani Hashim, he was from Quraysh, he was Arab,
Yes.
On one side. On the second side, because of the love that the people of the area of Khorasan, so Khorasan in the present day is, you know, is a small province in the Islamic Republic of Iran. In that day, it was a huge province. It included Afghanistan, probably northern Pakistan, much of Iran was a part, you know, Turkmenistan, yes. Uzbekistan. This was all considered, you know, Kazakhstan. These areas were all considered to be Khorasan. It was a huge yes. province, and very wealthy, very prosperous. So the people in this whole area, you know, they had a tendency to have the love of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam. So on one side, he gains the legitimacy of the Arabs. On the other side, he gains the legitimacy of the Shia and the people who support the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam. And then he's also able to control a lot of the Alawi uprisings which were occurring. So you see, for example, Zayd bin Ali had his uprising, Nafs Zakiya, right? And these kind of different individuals throughout after the Umayyads and in between the Abbasis, you know, who were doing uprisings, so these were also under control. But one thing that I want to add, which is very fundamental, is that by this time, so you have Imam Ali alayhi salam, then you have Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Imam Sajjad, Imam Baqir, Imam Jafar al-Sadiq, Imam Qazim alayhi salam, peace and blessings upon them all. You have seven divinely appointed imams, which have been teaching the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, the pure teachings of the Messenger, the pure teachings of the Quran. So they have a very large following, right?
Yes.
And one of the things that every single one of these imams have claimed is that they are divinely appointed. Mm-hmm. They are the true wali, whether it is in the spiritual field or the political field. Mm-hmm. So politically, Imam Rida alayhi salam himself also poses a threat to Mamun al-Rashid and the Abbasids, being the wali of Allah, being the political, spiritual authority. So he kind of does all of these things, brings Imam Rida alayhi salam into the fold. What's interesting, I think Sheikh Rouhani also brought it up, was this idea that Imam Rida alayhi salam, first he totally rejected the offer in public, right? So in this great gathering where Mamun al-Rashid says, I will make you the wali ahad, I will hand you the khilafah, the political governmental authority, Imam Rida alayhi salam says, I don't want it. Mm-hmm. Then he says, no, I'm offering you this wali ahad. And again, second time, Imam Rida alayhi salam rejects it to the point where one of the viziers in the court of Mamun al-Rashid, he says, I've never seen such a pathetic khilafah before, where the one who has the khilafah doesn't want it and is giving it to another person. And the one that he is giving it to says, I don't want this khilafah. Right? Imam Rida alayhi salam rejects it. Finally, you know, in very subtle terms, Mamun al-Rashid says that, you know, if you don't take this khilafah, the wali ahad, you know, I will kill you. And at this point, Imam Rida says that if I'm going to accept the wali ahad, this vice regency position, then I will not be involved in any of the governmental affairs. Right? So this is a huge statement on behalf of Imam Rida alayhi salam.
Hmm. That's all right. So there were some conditions put by Imam Rida alayhi salam.
Well, the main condition was that I'm not going to be involved in any of the political matters. So it shows you that he does not consider the government of the Abbasids to be legitimate, right?
Yes, yes.
You don't have a legitimate government, so why would I be involved in any of your affairs? One last thing. I'm sorry, I spoke more than I should have. These corrupted kings, you know, whether it was Bani Umayyah or it was Bani Abbas, after Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they realized that killing these people openly was incredibly dangerous. Mm-hmm. So they never made that mistake again. So this is just another way of trying to, quote unquote, kill Imam Rida alayhi salam. One of the things that happened after they gave him the position of wali ahad is Imam Rida alayhi salam's own supporters said, you know, what are you doing? How can you be, you know, joined with Ma'mun, these individuals who are the killers of the Shia, they're the killers of your forefathers. So this was a manner of character assassination of Imam Rida alayhi salam.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
he was poisoned, and the bruises on the hands of Imam al-Reza alayhi salam showed that he was, we can say, poisoned on that time. So as you said, that's right, it was not like assassination or killing or through sword or something like that. They tried, but they were not successful. And finally, unfortunately, he was poisoned. Even Imam al-Reza alayhi salam selected the masjid and the mosque as his residing place, isn't it, Sheikh Rouhani, on that time, in order to show that he has no connection with the palaces of the king of that time.
He was just always worshipping Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So during all these years in Khorasan,
performing the prayers, yes.
Mm-hmm, he has been the source of benefit for his spiritual up to an extent that even the closest family members of the Ma'amun believed in Imam al-Reza alayhi salam. They referred to him. One important prayer for raining happened during the another sign of the miraculous action of Imam al-Reza alayhi salam on that time. So let's talk a little bit about these aspects of the life.
Yeah, of course. You know, when Imam Rida alayhi salatu wasalam was brought to Marv, of course, some of the Abbasids, as you rightly mentioned, they firstly, they did not believe in that kind of spiritual, which you can say, position or status of Imam Rida alayhi salatu wasalam in the hearts of the people. But when Imam Rida, for example, arrived at the city of Nishabur or Nisabur, which is mentioned in the historical sources, they saw that numberless people gathered for Imam Rida. They was waiting for Imam Rida alayhi salatu wasalam. And then they asked Imam Rida alayhi salatu wasalam to talk, to speak for them, to present a speech or lecture to the people, and to narrate some hadith from his forefathers, because the most pure and trustable, chain of transmitters of a hadith is the holy imams and the infallible imams. That's why all the scholars, the people, the narrators, all asked Imam Rida alayhi salatu wasalam to tell us some hadith of the Holy Prophet, your forefather. So he mentioned that hadith, Silsilat al-Dhahab, which is with the golden chain, is mentioned in our narration as this very nice hadith. Yeah, he mentioned many points. One of them is really significant, that he said that wilayatu Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam hasni. So then he finally added this point So this phrase that Imam Rida said, it was clearly mentioned to the people that if you follow me, then of course you would be the right path.
If you want to take refuge in the strongholds, you
that
have
is
to
me.
Refer to me. That
of course.
Me. That's right.
Of course. So then the people understood the reality and the truth from this hadith of Imam Rida alayhi salatu wasalam, because very smartly, we can say, Imam Rida mentioned this point to the city of Nishabur.
Yes.
And then when he came to the Marv, again, the Ma'mun and the Abbasids saw thousands of people gathered in the city of Marv to embrace, to welcome Imam Rida alayhi salatu wasalam.
Wow.
Whenever Imam Rida alayhi salatu wasalam stood for the prayer, they said, oh, lots of people.
Wow.
Yeah. Stand behind Imam Rida alayhi salatu wasalam and say the prayers. When Imam Rida went to do for the Eid prayer, lots of people gathered from the different villages, different provinces from all across Khorasan. And then Ma'mun came and told Imam Rida alayhi salatu wasalam that you shouldn't, perform the khutbah.
Because
of what Imam Rida said. What? He said, because we are, worried about your security, safety, because the people might kill you. So it was like games they played, And then Imam Rida said, okay, no problem. You lead the prayer and you say the khutbah. And then in another day when he prayed for rain, of course, it was raining after immediately after the prayer of Imam Rida alayhi salatu wasalam. Then, of course, all the people knew that he is the most knowledgeable person, because in those debates, discussions that he had with non-Muslims, Muslims, Sunnis,
answering them
Christians,
from their own books,
Zoroastrians, Jews, Lords, Sabi'ins, so all of them are reported, then the people understood that, he is the most scholarly figure in the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wasalam, and he is the most pious, the most pure, the most, we can say, abid and zahid, what we can say, the closest person to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because when he pray for rain, then immediately raining.
Yes.
So there's all these things show that Imam Rida alayhi salatu wasalam was the only legitimate Imam. That's right. The only true guide for the Ummah. That's why Ma'mun again feared a lot that his game did not work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the people understood the reality, though the people already understood.
Yes.
But unfortunately, of course, finally he decided to poison the holy Imam. Yes.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani and Sayyid Mahdi, for a nice elaboration regarding Imam Reza alayhi salam, the reason for his coming from Medina to Khorasan, and why Ma'mun martyred Imam Reza alayhi salam. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
I know that you could easily take away everything you've given me, and I try to remember not to take anything from.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Please don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.ir. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you by my side. I wish to be to you throughout my life, ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
humanity.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم my dear brothers and sisters and welcome back to the series of Talks for Humanity. I am Hamza Azizi from IRIB English Radio and we are talking about human rights in the Holy Quran and this is the last episode we are talking about these rights. As I said in previous episodes, there are many rights, many specific rights that we can deduce from the Holy Quran, but we tried our best to touch very briefly the most primary rights mentioned in the Holy Quran, and the rights that are, let's say, the main root, and the other specific rights, the other following rights are going to be derived from these primary ones that I have mentioned. The last right that we are going to introduce is justice. The right of justice is one of the very significant rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces in His holy book. Of course, this right is not something unknown to the human beings and was not unknown to them. They knew that even before the religion of Islam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a kind of emphasis to this right that maybe has not been given to that before in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, in chapter Nisa, verse 135, enjoins and orders the believers that they have this duty to conduct justice among human beings, even though that justice is against themselves or their belongings or their relatives. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ. You have to witness and watch Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and conduct justice in the society, وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ, even though that is going to be against you, أَوْ الْوَالِدَيْنِ أَوْ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, even against your parents, even against your relatives, because Allah, فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَىٰ بِهِمَا فَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا الْهَوَىٰ أَن تَعْدِلُوا. There is a conflict within your heart, the conflict between you, what you wish and justice. There is a hawa. Hawa means what you wish, what you like, your desire. There's a conflict between justice and desire. But you are not allowed to sacrifice the justice for the sake of your desire and your wish. فَلَا تَتَّبِعُ الْهَوَىٰ أَن تَعْدِلُ. In another case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you follow this guideline that I mentioned, if you conduct justice within the society, you will receive the mercy and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In chapter Ma'idah, verse 42, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنْ حَكَمْتَ فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْقِسْطِ. If you want to judge, you have to judge justly. And then he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes the just people. So conducting justice in the society brings brings up the mercy and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's another point which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about different areas in which the justice must be conducted. I'm going to share with you this point after a short break.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, my dear brothers and sisters, to the series of Talks for Humanity. I'm Hamza Azizi from IRIB English Radio, talking with you about the last type of rights mentioned in the Holy Quran, the right for justice. We said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, encourages human beings to conduct justice in different areas, but then he wants to emphasize what those areas are for conducting justice. Are we only obliged to conduct justice in the whole society or in a country or in a governmental system in political issues, or there are other different areas for that as well? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that even in your relationships, in your family relationships, among your relatives, among your friends, in your small communities, you have to conduct justice. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the verse that I've recently read says that even though the justice is against you or against your family members, against your relatives, you have to conduct that. It shows that even justice is obliged and is mandatory within the small communities like family, like relatives, like among friends. And as I said, he says that you are not allowed to sacrifice the justice only for the sake of your desire. ولا يجرمنكم شنآن قوم أن صدوكم عن المسجد الحرام أن تعتدوا. Even there are some people who oppressed you, they have fired you, they have kicked you out of Mecca, they have taken your belongings and they've occupied your city, they've occupied your place. Although you have to defend, you are allowed to defend yourself, but you are not allowed to exceed the limits. You are not allowed to violate justice. Even though you have a lot of hatred within your heart of them, you are not allowed to violate justice. You are not allowed to disregard justice. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is something that is obligatory not only for the governors, for all people. وَمِمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا أُمَّةٌ يَهْدُونَ بِالْحَقِّ وَبِهِ يَعْدِلُونَ. The whole ummah, the whole society, all of them, they are obliged to conduct, to help for justice. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the last point, says that the reason why I have sent a religion is that the ultimate reason is justice. لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. We have sent our prophets, our messengers, with the miracles. وَأَنْزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانِ. We have sent books, holy books with them. All of them because I wanted justice on the earth. لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. There are two points. The first point is that I wanted justice on the earth, so I've sent the messengers. And the second point is that I didn't want the justice only be conducted by the hand of the prophets. No, I wanted people, all of the people, all of the community members to try their best to conduct justice. So this is a kind of social mandatory, social obligatory for all the believers, not only for the messenger, not only for the governors. And the last point is that for conducting such justice, something is necessary, which is the having power. وَأَنْزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ, which is the sword. It means that the power, it's a symbol of power. Power, political, social power, is quite necessary for conducting justice. Thank you very much. Have a good time. وَالْحَمْدُلِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على النبي صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل النبي.
Hello, I'm Mubarak Kenya, and a big welcome to this week's edition of Africa Today.
Stay tuned with Africa Today.
Africa Today.
Hello, I'm Mubarak Kenya, and welcome to this week's edition of Africa Today. In our show today, we are focusing on a recent report by UN special rapporteurs who have criticized the German government for violating the rights of the Herero and Nama ethnic minorities by excluding them from talks over reparations for colonial crimes against their ancestors. In the second part of our show, we shall be looking into the ongoing crisis in Sudan, which has left thousands killed or injured and millions facing a humanitarian catastrophe.
Germany criticized over Namibia genocide.
Tens of thousands of men, women and children were brutally killed, tortured, or driven into the Kalahari Desert to starve by German troops between 1904 and 1908. Now, this genocidal crime was perpetrated after the Herero and Nama ethnic communities resisted colonial rule in what was then named German Southwest Africa and is now Namibia.
Germany has agreed to pay Namibia 1.1 billion euros as compensation after it officially recognized the Herero-Nama genocide. This deal has been rejected by the two affected communities. Berlin insists on implementing this controversial deal that recognizes the colonial era genocide in Namibia.
This one is Slachter Street. It's a street that says to slaughter, to kill.
After the war, all those areas that we occupied, they were confiscated by Germans, and most of these areas, they are owned by white settlers, if I may put it.
UN special rapporteurs have criticized the German government for violating the rights of the Herero and Nama ethnic communities by excluding them from talks over reparations for colonial era genocide. Now, a descendant of the genocide victims gives a glimpse of what their ancestors went through.
The Germans gave my grandmother hardship. She was forced to speak a foreign language, and we are living in poverty because of what they did to us at that time. Now we want them to restore our dignity. Reparations must come, and we want our land back.
For more on the genocide perpetrated by Germany against Namibians, we have contacted Daniel Sikwambi Parata, a human rights activist. Thanks for your time, sir. Now, seven UN representatives have urged Germany to take responsibility for all its colonial crimes in Namibia, including mass murder. Do you think Germany, which claims to be a champion for human rights, will now listen and compensate the people of Namibia over its genocidal crimes during the colonial rule in this African country?
Our friends from diaspora, and it is a must for Germany to reconsider their decision, because the genocide really is at the heart of all the Namibian people at the current moment. Because if you look at this matter of genocide, it is a very sensitive matter, and the German government must come to the table and recognize this issue of genocide. And therefore, all the Namibian people are up in arms as we speak right now. They want the German government to come to the table and renegotiate and consider the recognition that the German government committed mass murder of the Namibian people. Therefore, the young people, mostly the descendants, the affected community, they are not happy with this decision which the German government has taken to brainwash people out there to say that this genocide is just a matter of something that happened in history.
In their petition regarding the genocide agreement discussed in May 2021, the Herero and Nama ethnic communities want the German government to negotiate directly with the descendants of the Herero and Nama genocide victims, while the Namibian government facilitates the process. The German government is avoiding direct negotiations with these two affected communities.
We